welcome to the podcast where sales and marketing talk. My name is Julia Hartwig and I'm in charge of marketing around here, and I'm talking with...
I am Ahmed Albayrak and I am in charge of the sales.
So today we want to talk about why marketing and sales are actually frenemies in the current situation in most companies. But before we get started, I actually have a question for you, Ahmed. In the last episode, we discussed that was basically our discovery call, and you had a lot of qualification questions for me. So if we stay within the same analogy, what are we going to call this episode? Are we already in demo stage, or where are we at?
Yeah, we are still in discovery. You know, it's like, it's not enough for me. I didn't get enough data, you know, enough information to be convinced that sales and marketing are BFFs or any kind of friends. So we will stick to it with, you know, we are still frenemies. So I need you, of course. I need marketing, but come on. We need to talk more about it.
Okay, well then let's start digging in. Yes, so I mean, we're called frenemies because our opinion is that currently marketing and sales aren't aligned and aren't really pushing for the same goal. And for me, that's already like the first point on difficulty in this relationship. In most companies, they still have different targets. So in most companies, marketing is in charge of driving MQLs and then is like hands off after the MQL. And sales takes over from that point on and then is in charge of the rest of that process until somebody becomes a customer.
Yeah.
And that for me already leads to like this big difficulty because the goals are completely different. It's completely different if you look at like the top level and MQLs you generated and even just talking about what is an MQL and what are even the factors for you to call something an MQL. I mean, in marketing, you can't make this decision on your own. Of course, you can analyze data on your own, but you can't make the decision on what works and what doesn't work just on your own without talking to sales, because it will always be disaligned because you have a different opinion. And also you have your own targets. Yeah. So of course you want to do everything so you achieve this MQL target, and you might let some leads that you know aren't on MQL like quality slip through to get your target, yeah, right? Because that's what you're measured on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, this is the same thing, you know, we have in some of the companies, actually, they have activity targets for SDRs. And it's also a big problem because we want to, yeah, if you want to book a meeting with a potential customer, with a prospect, actually what you need is to write good emails. You know, it's like your outreach should be elegant and personalized, and it should be also relevant. But if you are pushed to do 100 emails a day, and the quality suddenly began to disappear, because at first, in the shortest term, a daily activity level, you have, as an SDR, you are trying to hit that quota, and also leads to an additional layer between you and your potential customer. You know, in addition to the difficulties that we have in sales, and we have these difficulties that you mentioned in marketing. You know, it's like, we receive MQLs from you, we send crappy emails, crappy LinkedIn messages, and pushy calls, you know, trying to reach out to them every day. And it actually hurts the buyer journey that should be well established.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that leads me to the next point. Talking about responsibilities and ownerships between marketing and sales. Because of course, okay, on the one hand, you can say you have all of the cold outreach, which marketing as such has nothing to do with. But then all of the other leads that, you know, get sent your way, of course, marketing was involved. And even on the cold outreach, you could say something like brand. And if, you know, you do a bunch of cold outreach and people know of your company or don't, is of course, okay, at the end of the day, something marketing has done in the presence, in the brand awareness. So I think part of marketing's responsibility is, of course, the brand, even though that can be up for debate if brand should even stand on its own. But that all should be included in sales daily work.
Yeah.
The way you talk to people, the way you do outreach, what messages and emails look like, and also how much they correspond with everything that marketing does, with all of the messages and ads and campaigns marketing is sending out. The more those are aligned, I think the higher the conversion rates are you see. But oftentimes, this is not the way marketing is put up in organizations.
Yeah.
And doesn't have this responsibility and doesn't have the ownership to go and say, hey, we just have done this campaign, this is what we're communicating, and this is how you can translate it to your sales part as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there is a rule. You know, I am a kind of a web developer as well. You know, I'm really into design, you know, it's like creating a good user experience as well. You know, it's like everything matters, you know, in that sense. You know, it's like, you know, everyone gives an example, the Apple products, you know, they're all have the same shapes, you know, and when you look at their website and, you know, their gadgets, they all use the same font, you know, everything is so aligned. You just create, it's actually smooth experience because people are getting used to it when they first see it. You know, it's like when they see an alignment between every parties, you know, about that company, let's say, and they said, okay, this is a high quality product, high quality, you know, it's a well-established company. And a well-established company has this advantage as well. You know, they will not negotiate on the price that much. You know, it's like, because let's see, you know, comparing Apple to Samsung or other products, you know, Apple's pricing policy is, you know, really high compared to other ones, but you still go and buy Apple because they provide you a great user experience, and they create you an ecosystem. They get you in it. It should be also exactly with, you know, sales and marketing, you know, a buyer process, buyer journey. If you can create that, you can solve almost all of the other problems that you buy tools for it to solve it.
I mean, it sounds like we're agreeing here, which is kind of shocking. But we also, I think, both agreeing that this is not the current state companies are in. And I think this is where the difficulty lies. Because it basically aligning sales and marketing more means you have to change the status quo. You have to change the positions the teams are in currently. You have to change ownerships and responsibilities, which would basically mean, and, you know, let's just play this out. So, you know, what would you say if I, as a marketing person, come to you tomorrow and say, let's talk about the messages you're sending out. Let's look at the emails you're sending out. And then give you feedback and specific inputs on, you know, based on what we're doing and our tone of voice and our branding, this and this is how it should be done. What would your reaction be?
Actually, I would, you know, it's like every feedback is appreciated at first. But, you know, it's like when I would come with, you know, it's like the, you know, the results. If I don't get any results with my approach, and someone from marketing comes to me and says, hey, we need to work on your message, I would say, hey, let's work on your message because my messaging works perfectly right now. So I book meetings with it. But what I realized, you know, it's like because we are in front of people every day, you know, we are talking to them and we are constantly A/B testing, you know, if it's a good, you know, good functioning sales organization, of course, constantly A/B testing our messaging, you know, giving the right value propositions and, you know, it's like everything or the creating a sequence that really speaks to the potential customers. Yeah, it works well. And actually what I would do is go to the marketing people and say, hey, this is working with us. Let's align this together. But so far, I wasn't successful with that. I tried, by the way. You know, it's like, hey, you know, it's like I see your company's, our company page on LinkedIn. And, you know, it's like, it sucks. You know, it's like, it's the same as the 10 million other companies on LinkedIn. You know, it's like professional, you know, it's like everything is, you know, it's like great. You know, it's like a video, a long video, no one watches. You know, it's like you spend money for it, you know. And I said, don't do that. Make it more fun. You know, it's like, because even the CEOs at C-level, they are human beings. They are not different. They don't want to have 24/7 professionalism in their job, you know. It's like they're just, hey, you know, it's like, because they also watch TikTok, okay. they are watching TikTok videos. So, do it, align it to that.
I really wonder how they didn't receive your feedback of, hey, this sucks, better. But I think this again leads us to a point we already previously discussed. But what I experienced in working in closer collaboration with SDRs and sales, you know, because you experience one-on-one interactions every day, a lot of times I've met this, that SDRs and sellers had their opinions on what works, but a lot of times those actually weren't quantifiable mm-hmm. by data. So the moment I actually went in and analyzed, okay, so if we look at the full time of, you know, this email, I don't know, over 5 months, what are actually the open rates and conversion rates? What they felt subjectively was performing well when you looked at it, at the data actually wasn't. And that's because, of course, they could have had a good week where they sent this email out and they got 5 responses. And because this is personal and it's 5 responses from 5 people they are talking to, you know, that leads them to, oh, this email is performing very well. Whereas if you look at it on a larger time scale, you could see, well, actually, I think there is a lot of potential for it to perform even better if we do change subject line and so on and so on.
Yeah, but what I'm questioning right now is because it's now changing faster and faster. Now, there is, in my opinion, there is nothing that can function for a month. You know, you can, you know, no one can say I use the same message for a year and it worked every time. It can work in a month, in a week, because now to access to an information is become so much easier. You know, everyone copies others. And, you know, then one time you think, hey, my message is unique and, you know, it's really good. And afterwards, you start receiving the same message from other companies, you know? And that's why it should be more dynamic in that end. You know, it's like to gather enough information. You know, you can basically say, hey, it's worked 1 week. You know, it's a fundamentals, messaging fundamentals, where the proposition fundamentals should be there. The messaging should be changed constantly. Actually, that can work because, you know, it's like everyone copies, everyone doing the same thing right now.
But I think it's not only the copying. I mean, it's the same that we see in marketing, right? I mean, the more you can make it relevant, and being relevant is also like a seasonal thing. Is there anything on the timing right now you can push, right? And you see it right now happening. A lot of the sales messages that are being sent and also a lot of the marketing pushes focus around, hey, do you have leftover budget? You don't know how to spend. We're here to help you get rid of that budget. And a lot of those things. But I think that's also where the difficulty is of marketing stepping in more and helping sales more on that, because at least the setups that I have seen, there is just not the staff to do that right now and to say, hey, we have one person that once a month, once every 2 months, looks at all of the messages and makes them more relevant and makes them more seasonal and ties them to things that happen worldwide, that happen in a certain region, that happen to a certain group of people, whatever this may be. And that is what is needed. So a lot of times I think it is, you know, sellers having to do that work and getting there. And I think the next thing you talked about is also just there is this constant change in the market of what works. So basically what method works, right? I think a year ago, it was like the next big thing to send pictures or images or voice messages. And I don't think they have the same effect right now as they did back then. And that's something that needs to be adjusted, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like it's becoming more and more difficult to reach out to people in a creative way. But the thing is, at the same time, there is also this delusion. You know, it's like, you know, reading, getting news from LinkedIn. Because when you look at LinkedIn, it's a social media platform anyway. You know, it's like you think that everyone does the same thing. You know, it's like everyone sends a voicemail or everyone sends video message. You know, it's like what I received, for example, from a VP of a big, big company. I just send him a video message and he just said, "You are the first one who sent me a message. Let's arrange a meeting." And I was like, no one ever thought of sending a message to him. It's weird, you know? It's like, why you didn't send a video message to him? Because it's a big company, you know, they have a budget. They are doing really well. You know, they could be a part, you know, they could be a really good potential customer. But what you do instead, going it to the easy way, you know, just send some kind of generic message, you know, that he reads and just forgets about you.
But that's because personalizing and sending those messages takes time. And it's the time a lot of companies don't value. Because the goal is still the more the merrier. So rather send 1,000 generic messages that have 2% personalization than spending time on creating 10 personalized video messages that you send out, even though those most likely have a higher potential. And I think also of for an SDR or a seller, of course, it needs a lot of confidence to, you know, record those videos because you need to have nailed what you're saying and your value propositions and all of those things. And also aren't used to that format and don't feel comfortable with that format.
Yeah, exactly. What I saw, you know, it's like the chat GPT that is around with the AI. And I used it for a while, you know, it's like, it doesn't take my job away, but what I see, you know, it's like, I asked him to create for me a marketing strategy, you know, it's like, give me SEO tags, write me an SEO based article. And it did quite well, you know, maybe, you know, it's like, we are talking about becoming, maybe in the future, becoming friends, sales and marketing, maybe marketing could die, you know? It's like, we don't need you. I can just do it in 5 minutes, you know? And you will become unemployed.
Those constant threats. I don't think marketing will die. I mean, marketing is a discipline same as sales is, so I don't think the entirety of marketing will die. I don't even think big parts of marketing will fall away. I mean, if you look at so many trends that happened over the last years, like when you look at, for example, the entire performance marketing and optimizations thereof, you know, there were already systems years and years ago that take care of that, that also involve AI and are way smarter in adjusting keyword bits you do on Google Ads and so on. And yet there are a lot of performance marketing managers out there that do a better job in actually adjusting the strategy. And that's something AI right now is not capable of doing. So I think when it comes to the entire discipline of marketing and doing that with the knowledge and experience you have built to actually see, okay, what are trends that could be going on and things like that, I don't think currently AI can do that. However, when of course it comes to creativity, I think AI can be a very helpful tool. So just to say, you probably know the game Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, I know.
They did a test. I think it was 2 years ago. They did a test when they developed their new card set for the next year. And actually, they had their copywriters do cards, and then they had their AI write cards, and then tested what was funnier based on a focus group. And I think the copywriters only won by like one card, so it was really, really close. But again, it leads us back to the point that copywriting and content is also a science and is based on a lot of things of what triggers people. But when it comes to the actual content of it, I mean, I do think it still needs a person to figure out, okay, what are we going for here? Who do we want to reach and where do we want to drive impact? And then on the next level, yeah, also, where does our company come in and how can this be helpful? And I don't think AI can stem that right now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm just, you know, it's like really keen to get rid of marketing so that we can do it by our own.
But at the same time, you could say, I mean, probably right now, I could also have AI write a bunch of sales messages and then have a bot create a bunch of fake LinkedIn profiles that have very nice CV, probably even nicer than yours, and then have it run like just sending LinkedIn messages via the bot to people and then see what the turnaround of that is. So, I mean, if you look at it on this angle, all of our jobs could be at risk.
Yeah, but come on, AI never can build relationships. Come on.
But at the end of the day, that's the same that marketing is doing. I mean, we're also building relationships. Obviously, we're building relationships to bigger groups. We're building relationships to, you know, target audiences or communities. But it's the same thing we're doing. It's just that we're not doing it for our person, but actually for the company and for the brand. But it's the exact same thing. I mean, you know, when you hype Apple, I mean, this is also a big part of it is driven by the brand that Apple put out there and that people, you know, feel inspired by and drawn to because of all of the things they have done. And, you know, let me break it to you. This is not a bunch of sellers that did that. This is like marketing.
Yeah. Yeah, in a B2C level, I can say that, of course. But, you know, it's like in B2B, you know, it's like it's just, you know, there is no brand, you know, it's like without sellers. So build a... No, I'm just kidding.
But there is no brand without marketing people either.
Yeah, but Tesla did. Tesla has no marketing team, for example.
I think Tesla is a difficult example, though. So first of all, this is B2C. They are like a tangible product. So that's already a very different like sphere we're on. And second of all, obviously their CEO is, you know, I mean, is like a spokesperson and a big person that drove the awareness Tesla had just because of like also what he carries and his own like awareness he had in the market and reach.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like I'm just, you know, taking my lines and, you know, it's like defending sales against marketing. You know, that's why I'm putting these kind of stuff out to play with marketers, you know, like yourself.
But getting back to the original point, I mean, in an ideal world, at least in my understanding, marketing and sales would have the same goal and the same targets. So basically, you know, pipeline creation and revenue. But currently, as the situation is, again, it's like split and MQLs and stuff, which also means that sales, of course, kind of, you know, gets to take all of the credit. Because it's like, sure, what I created came from a bunch of leads, but, you know, this is the revenue that I created this year. And that's kind of it. So if we would have the same goals, that would of course also mean you would have to give some credit to marketing, who helped you with that.
Of course.
How would you feel about that?
Good. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. We will give credit to marketing as well. No, never. Yeah, actually, you know, it's like in an ideal world, it's actually world is shifting to that direction. You know, it's like everyone realized actually, hey, you know, there is something wrong here. You know, it's like bringing numbers doesn't mean anything anymore. And it should be more, actually, if we could work together, there are better chance to, you know, get more qualified results. You know, it's like getting more customers in a good sense, actually, you know, it's like without hurting the brand, without hurting the company, you know, creating a great buyer journey would be the, you know, every company's goal. But right now, it's also the mindset shifts, you know, doesn't come so quickly. When people used to do something, you know, they are keen to stick to it. You know, it's like, don't change it. It's also for the salespeople, by the way. You know, it's like sales is also evolving fast, changing fast. But there are some directors out there, you know, say, I did it 10 years ago with this company. It should work here as well. No, you know, it's a different product, different kind of stuff, different kinds of times. Everything is different right now. And we should, you know, I'm not saying every new is good, you know, that we should accept every, you know, progress, you know, every new trend or something. You know, it's like when you obey to trends, you just stay there when they are gone. So, you know, it's like when they are, that's why you should have a great strategy, but it should be also flexible according to the changes of around you. You know, it's like around your product, you know, around your product roadmap is also important. Your ICP could, even your ICP could change, you know, that you can't expect that. And it could be, you know, so you can see, hey, there's a good niche there. Actually, I did my product for, I don't know, finance guys or big companies. Actually, mid-sized companies can benefit from it much better. And, you know, it's like for the marketing and salespeople, it's a total change, right? You know, it's like, okay, you know, now you should change everything. And that's also an important thing, actually. You know, it's like in all of that stuff that we talk about. In all of these things, what really matters is to have a great fundamentals in your company. You know, it's like when you great communication between marketing and sales, it is harder to adapt to the changes if there is no communication at all between us. So between you, the marketing and sales.
So how do you do that and enabling that line of communication? I mean, for me personally, the setup I have worked in is having weekly meetings or bi-weekly meetings with basically every level of the sales department. So having focused kind of leadership meetings, of course, more covering the high level and the strategic parts, but then also with the sales managers, with the SDR department. But how have you worked with that? And what do you find the best line of communication to be to the marketing department?
It actually depends on the situation. It's a remote company, hybrid company, you know, it's like, it's just, you know, there's on-site working, you know, it's like when there's on-site, it's the most easiest thing, actually. Just put these two people in the same room and let them fight. They can find a way, you know, and it's actually a cultural thing as well. You know, it's like, so what I feel, you know, it's like when I have a good relationship with upper management, also in sales, you know, also the founders, a C-level in the company, there is a culture that everyone communicates with each other on every topic. So it's also encouraged to do that. So our managers wants us to communicate with marketing as well. So let's do it. You know, it's like it should be, you should feel it, you know, and also, you know, it should also come from the upper management as well. So it should be a cultural thing if you can create a company culture, of course. That's another topic, a whole other topic, creating a company culture.
It surely is, and it's a big topic to open up, but I 100% agree. Of course, it depends a lot on the culture and how you have the feeling of you can also communicate across different ownerships and responsibilities and actually go to other department and open up for this conversation. And I think what I've experienced is whenever I've done this, specifically also with SDRs, who of course a lot of times sit a bit closer to marketing than sales or sellers and you know, their leaders do, it has always been, you know, received really well. When I went up and opened this conversation, was like, hey, what are you experience? What do you feel like works? And actually getting their insights.
Exactly.
This was today uncovering a bit more on why marketing and sales are frenemies. I don't think we have concluded this debate yet. So we'll see each other again next week for another episode.